We're going to review 17 through 21 today. And again, the idea here is not that we just reteach the same material. I have the same slides that we had. Let's see, what's the date on these slides here? November the 7th. So the idea here is not to reteach this, but to go through it again and just interact over it and kind of talk through it and see what everyone's thoughts are about it. So, awesome passage. As I was reviewing it this past week, great passage and familiar verse, I'm sure, chapter 5 and verse 17. So let's just read through 17 and down through verse 21. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Okay? So, verse 17 is as I said, is a great verse, probably one that you all are very familiar with, and so just some thoughts here about this verse, and we've talked about it before, back in November. So, therefore, if any man is in Christ, who are those people that are in Christ? Who are those people that are in Christ? Pretty simple question. Yeah, those that are saved, those that are believers who have trusted in Christ as a Savior. So what does it mean to be, in Christ for those that are saved, that are believers who have trusted Christ as a Savior? What's it mean?
You have all the spiritual blessings that he has given us.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It's so much that, you know, this side of eternity, we're never going to be able to fully grasp all that means.
Question.
Yeah.
The if from the Greek, can that be translated since?
I don't know absolutely, but I think so. Yeah. Since you are.
Yeah.
And yeah. Since you are, then this is going to be true. That's right. That's right.
Since
you are. You do? Okay.
Since?
Yeah.
I have a note here since that note.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is everybody familiar with the 1 Corinthians 12 passage? Is everybody familiar with that? Let's look at that, because I didn't see any affirmative nods. So, 1 Corinthians 12. And verse 13. And let's look, just start at verse 12 and we'll read 12 and 13. Would you read that for us, Gene?
Well, 13,
right? Yeah, read verse 12 and 13.
Okay. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Okay, good. Thank you. So there it is, what we're talking about there, being in Christ, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. So by the Holy Spirit, we have been baptized or placed into the body of Christ. So there's now no longer Jew, there's no longer Greek, but there's one body of Christ, the church. So that's what, you know, when it to the positional truth of being placed into Christ, that's kind of the starting point of it all right there in 1 Corinthians 12.
I'll ask people, well, where were you when Adam sinned? Well, the majority, the average Christian won't, you know, they difficult question
uh-huh.
for people than I wouldn't be for this group, I don't think. But
Why don't you answer that for us, just to make sure that we're that we all know.
Answer it. That is so easy that even Wayne could answer.
What was the question?
I mean, yeah, you know, some people think, well, I wasn't born yet, you know, but we were in him, right?
In Adam.
In Adam.
That's right.
So now I like to think as a believer now that as we are now, we have the Spirit of Christ in us. Where were we when Christ died on the cross? We have a new source, and he placed us in himself, certainly, and so we're identified now with a new source.
That's right.
Where once it was Adam, now we have a new source. The last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15:45,
mm-hmm.
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of heavy for some to think that way, but, you know, certainly we get this teaching here, and it's a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that I think that federal headship, that representative, those representative truths are critical for believers to understand, because it helps them to understand their identity. It was once with the first Adam, but now it's with the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we've been placed in him. That makes all the difference in the world. It's interesting, little side note here, but that two doors down for us in our neighborhood, there's a young couple there. And, we've been just kind of open to the Lord for what God might have for us to get to know these folks a little bit. So, lo and behold, about a month ago, maybe 5 weeks ago now, they came and they knocked on our door and they said, we're going to have a Bible study at our house. Would you guys like to come? And I mean, I was, you know, my jaw hit the floor. And now they're studying through, they're going through the Purpose Driven Life book by Rick Warren, which, you know, it's not necessarily the greatest piece of writing out there, but you know, God uses it. You know, I think God's using it. And so, you know, we said, yeah, sure, we'd love to come. So we're going. And so to feed off of what you're saying there, Gene, is that these things that you just talked about are not being talked about there. And, you know, they're not talked about in that book, okay? So what, you know, we're there, you know, we're hanging in there but we're there to maybe share some of these deeper truths of identity and representation is the Lord now and not of ourselves. And so it's, you know, pray for us in it, because it's tough, you know, but it's at the same time, it's exciting, because here's, you know, a group of people in our neighborhood that really do want to know the Lord more. That's why they're there. I thought it was a pretty bold move that they would go around and knock on people's doors and try to get a little Bible study going. And so I give them all the credit in the world for doing it, but they need to know that they need to know those deeper truths. And so we're hopefully can get some of that. And maybe it's a 6 weeks thing. You go through the book, but hopefully it'll continue on. That's our desire, that it'll continue on past just the 6 weeks. And it'll be a little bit, we can get to a little more deeper stuff. Well, they don't know anything about me.
Oh.
And I'm fine with that. They don't. Yeah. And they, you know, they said, we don't want anybody from our church. Really, any leaders from our church coming, because we don't want anybody coming in that's going to kind of, you know, think they know all the right answers or be putting me down. And so I'm just sitting on the, not that I do have the right, I'm not trying to say that at all. I'm sitting on the sofa being quiet and making a few comments here and there and not trying to take over. So,
I can make a few comments because those books are so paraphrased.
Yeah.
Quite a bit taken out of context.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's where the Lord is going to use you in Rachel.
Yeah, yeah. We've had 2 weeks, so we're, and it's 6 weeks long. So the first week was really kind of everybody, but man, boy, to me, it's exciting to be able to get the.
And they call this a Bible study.
They do.
Yeah.
And are you gonna say something there?
No, they certainly call it Bible studies.
Yeah.
That can mean a lot of things.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So in Christ, okay, new. Talk about this a little bit. And Gene, you brought this up, I think it was 2 weeks ago or maybe 3 weeks ago as well, that it's not new in time, but new as to form or quality of a different nature from what it is contrasted to in the old. Creation is original formation, having come into a state of being that never existed before. It's a new quality creation, and to create means to make something from nothing. So it's not a recreation of the old sinful nature, but a completely new creation by God. And we talked about that a lot a couple weeks ago. That's, again, another critical point for people to understand that God's not in the business of making, you know, making my old, dressing up my sin nature and trying to make my sin nature better so that I can change my old habits to have better habits or my old routines to have better routines. But the old was so unimprovable and uncorrectable that he had to crucify it and to give us a completely new, a new nature and an opposite of the old. And that new nature is the very life of Christ himself. So, is that something that that we think about on a regular basis when we go through our day and a temptation of some kind comes up, whether it's the temptation to be angry or to worry or to whatever the temptation might be, to say, okay, I know that it's not up to me to try to not fall into that temptation, but it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ and my faith, I'm resting in my position in Christ. That's where I'm going to find the victories. And we, you know, how does that work for you guys? I'm just, you know, we're all in it together. We're all growing in it together. So, we all have, there's not a day that goes by where we don't have some kind of a struggle of one kind or so. How does that work? How does it flush out in paper for you guys?
It's something we have to remind ourselves of every day.
Uh-huh.
As we go along.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay.
That reckoning really comes to play there a lot. Mm-hmm. When those things hit, you just have to reckon yourself dead to sin and move on.
Yeah.
It certainly the peaceful way of doing it, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
That's out an awful lot of struggles and
Yeah.
Guilt complexes and that kind of
stuff. Sure. Yeah?
Is this workmanship in Christ, is that an ongoing process or is that a completed thing?
Okay.
It's already over with and done with.
We have become. It's in the perfect active indicative. And what that means, it's a completed past action with ongoing results. So it's something that was completed in the past, but it has results that are continuing on in the future. Yeah. Old things have passed away. Behold, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become. All things have become. It's already a completed past action. All things have already become new, and it has results that are continuing on in the future. Yeah. So it's in the past completed, but it's being carried out in the future. So how is it that we walk in the things that have already been completed in the past, but are yet having results in the future? How is it that we walk in those things that have already been completed for us?
I know some of you read the scriptures.
Okay.
All things are becoming new.
Okay.
I wondered how that related in any way that ends up being a process.
Okay. That's a great question. Sure. Does everybody understand the question? Okay. Read your translation again.
This is an old Schofield.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Well, Schofield's good.
In Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are, it says, become new.
Become new.
Are become new.
All things are become new. Okay.
So is that
okay.
An are becoming new or are becoming new.
Okay. Well, is it again, we have to go back to one of the preliminary questions we have to ask of the scriptures. Is that a positional truth or is that a conditional truth? See?
It's positionally, all things are new, but conditionally, Luther was right, too, to say that we're snow-covered dung because it's we have to walk in faith in the positional truth. Because when we look in retrospect to the end of a day in our life, we have to just go forward knowing that we didn't walk in Christ 100% the way we should have. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Did you hear that answer? Okay. Duh.
I have a note on that. New life has begun. Become. A new life has become. Become. Begun.
Okay, I, you know, what is everybody else's thoughts?
Well, yeah. when you really look and study it over, that new there is, it is continually new.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Genomai. Okay. Okay.
Always new.
Okay.
Which is hard to grasp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it not like it's so like changing from one frequency to another in some respects? We have the new man and we put off the old man, and we, you know, you might say we go from like AM to PM, go from, or FM, I should say, you go to a different frequency. By faith, we put on Christ. So we put on and abide in Him by faith. It's, you know, the just shall live by faith. Be led by the Spirit of God. Those are the sons of God who are led by the Spirit of God. So as we daily put off the old man and put on the new by faith, we're walking in newness of life. Just a step of faith.
Right, right, right. Right.
Constantly,
yeah.
Constantly abiding, it has to be the way of victory. For us.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I think that it's both. I think that it's a positional truth, and I think that it has a conditional side to it as well. All things have become new. Now, that's happened the moment that we trusted Christ as our personal Savior, because that's when we were placed into Christ, you know. It happened at the cross. We were baptized into the body of Christ. That's the moment of time that all things became new. So, it's a completed past action. The moment that we trusted Christ, it's a completed deal. It's 100% done. But that's a positional side. It's a completed past action. But it has ongoing results. And what are the ongoing results? This morning and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. And those ongoing results, I think, our part in those ongoing results is simply to walk by faith. To abide in Christ and to rest in the Lord and to behold Him. So I think it's both. All things have become new, and that's a positional truth, and conditionally we're walking by faith, and that's how that position becomes real in our condition, becomes real in our experience.
Well, is that the things that it's talking about here? All things are becoming new.
Go to the next verse.
Okay. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, so let's just read it, those two together, get the flow. Therefore, any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So there's a comparison there of the old things and of the new things. So again, I think we can look at it from a positional point of view and also from a conditional point of view. The old things, the old sin nature has been rendered powerless because of Christ's death on the cross and our death with Him. And also the old things, the deeds of the flesh. You know, and also he gets into here reconciliation a little bit, and even, you know, the sins of mankind have, you know, they're no longer before God. So those things are, and new things have come, and all these new things are from God. So, yeah. Does that answer your question, Jack? Or, yeah.
And just one more point there. I'd like to look at these sub references.
Sure.
I got this old Schofield, and I just wondered here in his case, he's got it written down here as reconciliation, and he refers it back to Romans 3:23, I think it is. Let's see here. Just a moment here. Yes. I'm sorry, I've gotten a little number. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
You are forgiven already. That's right. So you want to continue your thought or no?
Well, no, I think I'll...
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. We're doing away with those old things anyhow.
That's right. What do you guys think that the things is talking about there? What do you think? I think that's kind of what Jack was driving at, and I gave my thoughts. What do you know, the old things have passed away, new things have come, all these things are from God. What are the things there that's being talked about?
By him all that believe are justified from all things. So it's all those things that pertain to Adam, the Adamic race, all of our old nature, all those things. For sure, that's what.
That have passed away. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Things of the old creation. Okay. Wayne?
You know, we constantly try to improve the old man, and God isn't in the business of improving the old man because he's condemned.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you know, consider that and move on to your new life and learn how to use your new life.
Yeah. So when we sometimes fall into the trap of trying to improve the old man, we're trying to improve the very thing which has passed away. I mean, think about that. You know, what a waste, you know, and like what a waste of time, energy, and effort to try to do that.
It's like having that open casket. Boy, doesn't he look normal? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
It goes to all that trouble. Uh-huh. That body looked like it was,
yeah,
you know, 20 years younger and uh-huh. all this other stuff.
We're telling it to get up and to do a better job and to learn new things and to, yeah. Yeah, and it's what a. Well, we all fall into that trap from time to time, but the Lord in His grace has shown us in the progressive growth process that it's not about trying to pump the old man up. Yeah. So the old things have passed away. So what are the things that have become new? What would you say those are? The things that have become new. What are the all things that are from God? What's that talking about? The things. Okay. All the things that have come new is the life in Christ. Yeah. Yeah. What's that?
I was just remarking what was good. That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. So the new things that have come is the life of Christ. So obviously, because we didn't have the life of Christ previously, we were, you know, alienated from the life of God, but now, being in Christ, we have the very life of God. Sure. And any of the things that might be fruit that comes from the life of God, obviously those are the things that are coming from God, because they're not coming from us, because we have nothing to offer. You know, because it's, you know, in and of ourselves dwells no good thing. We know that quite well. What do you think? You brought the question up, Doug.
Oh.
Then you were the one that, you know, kind of pointed us on the verse 8? What do you think about the things? Any thoughts?
Well, I think a lot of it is the answer in the next verse.
In verse 8 or verse, go on to verse 9?
Well, same verse.
Verse
we're
8.
Reconciled.
Or 18.
Like Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
We're reconciled. What does reconciliation mean? What does it mean?
To be brought into a right relationship with God.
All things that depend upon that.
Uh-huh.
That's the beginning line. As it says here, we become new. That's the point. We began at that point. A new life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if you go up to verse 16, we are new Christ from a human standard according to our own flesh. So I think that's where we become new. It's no longer from according to our flesh. It becomes new daily from our spirit within.
Yeah, and that's looking at things from a different perspective. One was looking at it, we talked about it, was looking at it from an external perspective, and one was looking at it from a spiritual perspective. Yeah, right on. Yeah. So all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. When you think about the word reconciliation, it's kind of a big doctrinal term, you know, and one of the big heavy hitters of doctrinal terms that are out there. What comes to your mind when you think about the idea of reconciliation? This passage, next couple of verses, really hit it pretty heavy, you know, as we read down through there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in the 4 verses, he's talking about this idea of reconciliation. So, you know, Doug posed the question to me, what is reconciliation? And I answered out. So what does reconciliation mean to you guys?
That's what I was getting at that second one. You got it there. Referring you back to Romans 3:20, I think was the
this one here, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses.
Sin and come short of the glory of God, was referred to in that section. Yeah. I just wondered if they, in considering all of that, that doesn't, God sees it, we're reconciling ourselves to that. In other words, we're all part of the original sin of that. And but God's reconciled us since we came into Him and performing that. Without that being a factor.
Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, the other part of that Romans verse is that God commends his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that, you know, is tying in there with verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation.
I have a reference here of Ephesians 2:16. I'll read 15 first. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, to make of himself two, one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity.
Everybody catch that cross reference there?
Scripture.
Ephesians 2:16, 15 and 16, the second half of 15.
Yeah, great cross reference. Yeah, that's excellent.
I have a note here on that.
Uh huh.
The Greek word signifies to change thoroughly from. And various different scriptures, reconciliation looks toward the effect of the death of Christ upon man as propitiation. Propitiation is the Godward effect, and is that effect of the death of Christ upon the believing sinner, which through divine power works in him a thorough change toward God from enmity and aversion to love and trust. It never said that God is reconciled, God has propitiated the sinner reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
The change through and from.
That's right. So the sinner is reconciled. So the sinner is brought from the place of being an enemy or at enmity with God to now being at peace with God.
Sinners didn't also this note.
What's that?
The word propitiation.
Okay, now what does that mean?
Satisfied.
Satisfied.
God is satisfied.
Okay, does everybody catch that?
We are reconciled.
Yeah. That's right. Because God is satisfied,
he's
now...
satisfied because of what Christ did on the cross.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. To me, that's huge stuff. I don't know about you, but that's profound things that we're talking about regarding our relationship with God and our relationship with the Lord. And, you know, we hear these terms, reconciliation and propitiation and all these kind of the big doctrinal Asians, you know, but boy, these are some serious positional truths that are very personal in our relationship with God. I might have mentioned it before, but back in Bible school, you know, we had some doctrinal classes, and they can be kind of dry. You know, these Doc 1, Doc 2, Doc 3 classes, and they can be a little bit dry, just, you know, pounding these doctrinal themes. But when we got into some of this stuff, it clicked in a sense that, boy, this is positional truth. This is just as important as my identification with Christ. I mean, it's all wrapped up together. And these big, dry, doctrinal things became like, wow. You know, I am now, have been brought to a place of a friend with God. Or was it a place of an enemy with God? And God is actually satisfied. So now I can come boldly into the throne of grace and converse with God. I mean, that's... And then trust the Lord that impacts our lives on a daily and a moment-by-moment basis, and it impacts my relationship with Rachel and then with my kids and with my friends. And boy, I don't know about you, but that just, it takes these things to a whole another level. Yeah. Do you guys think of those like that? Or are they these dry, stale, doctrinal terms? Or, well, I mean, you know what I'm saying? They can a little bit.
I think a key to understanding the reconciliation is realizing the enmity that existed prior, you know, and God's justice and God's deserved wrath that He satisfied on our behalf through Christ. And like in this Bible study that you're doing, that's the kind of things that are missing in the Purpose Driven Life book. And the truths that aren't there that make for an easy believism,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
without the depth,
yeah,
that God's word brings to the truth.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with any effort that we could have done.
That's right.
Or even tried.
That's right. Yeah.
Not even there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, Steve. You know, Henry's 2.5 years old and he is at enmity with God. And I don't want to think about that. But he is right now. Huh? Well, yeah. We stopped. You know, we gave it up. So it, yeah, that created enmity with us. Yeah. But, you know, we're teaching them about God as much as we can and trying to get them to know that God made everything, you know, some of those basic, super basic, that God made him and God made us and God made the plants. But he's at enmity with that guy we're talking about. Until God works in his life, then, boy, there's a huge relational problem between Henry and God. Trust in the Lord will be fixed. But that's what we're talking about, you know.
One says all new, one thing says all things have become new.
Yeah.
They're not in him. They haven't become new in yourself.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's right. But when they do, all things will have become new.
Stop at him. Look, just read the newspaper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Complete little babies are such sinners.
Yeah. I know.
Self-centered.
It's like Calvin gets mad when Rachel picks him up and she doesn't feed him. You know, and the guy's, what, he's, you know, 60 days old?
2 months.
2 months old, something like that, you know. Yeah. So.
Maybe I always talk about sweetness and a little baby, but one time I heard J. Vernon McGee talking about, in the law, how women after giving birth were unclean and had to go through all this, you know, like a lot of modern feminist ideas that are completely offended by that. But he was teaching that it's just to signify how another sinner's been brought into the world. You know?
You don't like this, do
they? Yeah. So think about, we talked about there that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Verse 18 and 19 are real similar. You know, God reconciled us to himself through Christ. It's a very similar phrase that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And then both of them mention giving us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20 carries on the same idea. We're ambassadors for Christ as though we were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. So, what does it mean to you guys that God has given to us this ministry of reconciliation? What's that mean?
I already told Steve. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
I think the ministry is the gospel. Reconcile us, and it's the only thing that can reconcile anyone. Mm-hmm. So that's the ministry of the gospel of Christ.
Okay. So he's given us the ministry of the gospel? Is that what you're saying? Or no? Yeah, okay.
Because that's how the whole world would be reconciled is through Christ and the truth.
Right. Any other thoughts? What this ministry of reconciliation means? He's given it to us.
He says we are ambassadors.
We're ambassadors, okay. An ambassador is one who... Okay.
We're presenting to people a way of coming into a relationship with God. The only way. Of being reconciled to God, being brought to Him, as Steve was speaking.
Okay. So He wants us to be representatives for Christ of the gospel, or of this way of coming into a relationship with God, a way that people can come from the place of an enemy to a place of a friend. Now notice that He gave these words. And in a sense, he's letting us know what we are. You're ambassadors. You have this ministry of reconciliation. He gave it to us after we're new creations. See? I think that's critical that this isn't, this ministry of reconciliation or this idea of ambassadorship isn't something that's to be carried out in the flesh. It isn't something that's to be carried out in the old man. You know, old things have passed away. All things have become new. In light of what has become new, now, you've been given this ministry of reconciliation. In light of the life of Christ within you, now here's the ministry of reconciliation that I've given to you. Here's this idea of ambassadorship. I think that's critical as we think about this being used by the Lord. I think that's what it's like. I think this ministry of reconciliation is simply talking about that God wants to use us to bring the world into a relationship with Him. He wants to use us to bring people into a relationship with Him. Pretty neat thought.
And since He's doing the reconciling, it's not an effort. If we're abiding in Christ, others will see that, whether we say a word or not sometimes. We were kind of talking about that last night, even with the language.
Yeah.
Yeah. and where you maybe have never said a word about being a believer, and yet others, they'll maybe cuss in front of you or something. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, you know, I don't want to offend you or something. And yet, what made them see that?
Yeah, that's right.
Not something
that, you know, that's right.
It wasn't not necessarily us. It's
yeah.
Christ in
us. Yeah.
Likewise, if they don't see you, then you need to examine yourself.
Yeah.
Huh. We don't like to talk about that very much. But that's true. I mean, you're right on the money.
Right.
You know, Doug, that's just as much a part of it as you know, there's both sides to that. Exactly right. You might have remembered several months ago, I shared and I asked you to pray for a young girl two doors down from us that tried to commit suicide. You remember that? Well, this is the girl that invited us into their house. So, you know, here we are, just trusting the Lord for opportunities to share with this girl and with her husband. They're newly married, and obviously that was a wake up call for her. And she said, "Boy, I need some kind of help." And so what they did, they started going over to Cherry Hills Community Church, which is two blocks over from where we live, and that's what they're doing at this church, this purpose driven life thing. Well, the point is, you know, we're trusting the Lord for opportunities to maybe help her out. And so they come and knock on our door and invite us into their house. Again, that's just the Lord doing what I think it is that he likes to do, to work. And, you know, he goes beforehand and he prepares the way and he gives us opportunities to share with people. So it's, you know, that's the resting and abiding and saying, "Lord, I know you've given me this ministry of reconciliation. I know, Lord, that you have said that I am an ambassador for you. I'm just going to walk by faith. I'm just simply going to trust you, dependent upon you, open up the doors, open up the conversations, open up the opportunities." And that's exciting. It's joyful. It's restful. It's restful productivity. You know, God's living his life in and through us, and he's doing those kinds of things. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I'll share something else.
Yeah. Okay.
You mentioned the community church.
Yeah.
The picnic we had Labor Day, I got there early as one of my responsibilities.
Sure.
To have the place. There was a group there already. We all young people. Nice group. They had a volleyball net put up with a whole bit, and I told them that we had a permit there. They were from that church.
Hmm. Okay.
That church is working amongst the young people, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
The community and having things like that to draw the kids
sure.
in.
Sure.
If they get them to teach the true gospel, we'd be all right.
Yeah.
Reconciliation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that church is working that way.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
And God's working, and God,
very nice.
God's
and
using that.
I told him about it. And he said, "Well, he's the one in charge." I went and talked to him. He's okay. No problem.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. Yeah.
That church, yeah. One out there.
When we drive home, it's pretty big. And that's fine. I'm from a big church back in Virginia, so But they have police out directing traffic. And it's so close to our house. It's literally two blocks from our house that we have to go through the direction of traffic by the police to get home from here to our house. So every week it brings it to, but you know, hey, praise the Lord for what they're doing, and God's using it in a great way. Well, let's stop there. I think that we've talked through a lot of what these slides are going to say. So, well, it's been a good time with 2 Corinthians. I've enjoyed it, and hopefully you guys have to, but it's over. we'll start something new next week. So, oh boy, praise the Lord. It's been good to get to know you guys through the class. So, you know, we're still pretty new here. And so being in a class, you know, like this obviously enhances getting to know people. So it's been good along those lines. So let's pray. Lord, thanks for this morning, and thanks for just the thoughts that were shared and the conversations that that we had and centered around you. There's no greater thing than that, I don't think, but just fellowship and conversation with your word open before us and your spirit leading the conversation and thoughts being shared and you leading us in guidance and the truth. I pray that the things that were shared that you would bring them to our remembrance. It wouldn't be things that we just would have talked about and thought of here for 50 minutes, but they would be things that would we would be life-changing for us and your spirit would bring to remembrance often for us. And just be with Vern and the rest of the service that we have this morning and the fellowship that we have in you. In your name we pray. Amen.